Commission is here today is just to see in regards to where the city of Casson on the east side of Reagan Estates, there's the property. Are you able to pull that up by chance, please?
All right, so those of you who are familiar with it, the Schramm folks are developing this land over here off of 8th Avenue Northwest as townhomes. But the Schramm folks also own this large parcel over here, which I think was the point of discussion for today.
That is correct, thank you. So essentially, what the intent is just to see what the city is looking at and what so to speak, what they're hearing or what's needed for potential commercial, light commercial, or what, you know, just what, how do I say it? What is a good idea or your vision in regards to seeing what would work there?
Sure. Let's see. So, I mean, I think I can pull up our comprehensive plan. That's always a good place to start. Let's see.
Well, I'd say definitely right along Highway 57, that side would definitely would be ideal for commercial.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know what the western part of that east parcel, what it butts up to, if there would be more room for residential or not. I mean, you got, you know, but I ain't sure what it bumps up to on the south side.
It's the dollar store.
But I mean, way in the back.
And then
just a
portion, yeah, this is owned by the city, which mm-hmm. is part of the park. And then this is Bigelow.
So even back towards the park, you definitely could look at more residential, be it smaller, could be homes or could be more townhomes. I mean, ideal. I mean, for along the parkland, that'd be, I think that'd be a good spot. And then, you know, I would think commercial along towards Highway 57.
Commercial wise, right here, Mr. Mayor, in
yeah.
this area right here.
That's what I'm envisioning, yes.
Yeah, I agree. That would make most sense.
The city engineer has a concept here in regards to alignment here with 57 as well. And I haven't responded yet, but just as far as this, I want to just, so to speak, lay out some designs here to look at. You know, what could possibly work for a light commercial area. You know, this here, I know when we were working on continuation of 13th Street, there was discussion how we bring 13th Street through when we get into phase two here, but then what we could do potentially up here is, and you know, that was part of the discussion was the townhome rental, or maybe just a duplex, or maybe just single family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, and, you know, essentially what we're looking at is, you know, to see, I don't want to take the approach, build it and they'll come.
Right.
But I would like to take and see, you know, number one, work with the city, with the EDA to see, you know, is there anything that would be on a wish list to see what we could potentially come up with opportunity for other people, whether it's service industry or daycare or, you know, Jacob and I were talking on the way over, you know, there, one item was the daycare, one item was, you know, I don't know if there's dental office, you know, that type of service industry. You know, the other thing, just brainstorming, you know, there was the garage condos, you know, that type of situation too. You know, there's what else, I don't recall what other things, I'm just.
Yeah, just strip mall for services or
mm-hmm.
you know, garage condos for contractors or, yeah, there's flex spaces with those garage condos, but just seeing if you guys have heard anything from local business owners or people looking to get a place, just to get some ideas, so.
I think it would be difficult to have residential in there just because of crossing the road. You're close to the school, so they wouldn't be bused. So you know, you'd have to.
Yeah, but there's a trail along the whole north side of that. Plus when 57 gets connected down, that will have a sidewalk.
Does not show it on here, but approximately in this area here, there's a public trail that connects down here, goes up through, goes here, and then goes up to
16th.
16th, correct.
Yep.
16th and then go across 16th, right there.
Right across the highway. That's
through the roundabout.
Yep, through the roundabout where people are doing it now.
But
yep.
I do definitely see the need for more affordable housing, and I'm talking like 325 and below. We have a lot of housing going in, but 400,000, you know, when you figure in taxes, insurance, principal and interest, young couples have to pay PMI. Right now in our school district, there's only 26 houses available in our school district. And of those, only 5 are below 325.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really limited, that availability. And this is just my opinion, but we've seen several businesses that have closed their doors in this area between Rochester, Cass, and Owatonna. So the brick and mortar of businesses, and you know, I'm not trying to squash your idea of helping our community, but I'm just being honest.
Absolutely.
The brick and mortar has got to be very difficult to maintain. We've seen a couple people in the restaurant business that are struggling, and a lot of places that have been in business for a long time. But I do see a definite need for daycare. A lot of people are getting away from doing daycare at the home. It's too difficult. So if you had a daycare center similar to what they have up by the Methodist Church, that one has been thriving a long time, and there's waiting lists. Some of the schools, there's waiting lists.
I would just say that more recently I have had some interest for a commercial type development. One was for like a trucking company, and another one was for a type of food manufacturing, actually. But both of those, I did mention this site as a possibility, but from them it seemed that it was just too far from Highway 14. So for those types of businesses, they were more interested in, you know, sites that were closer to Highway 14. So I guess when I think about this area, I would say something that would be more successful would probably be something more youth-oriented, just taking advantage of the closeness to the schools. So I think, you know, daycare would probably be a good option, and then, you know, you're not going to need that close proximity to Highway 14 as other businesses would need.
I guess a couple thoughts I would put out there. So directly to the north, across 16, on the west side of 57, there's, you know, the county has its hiking trail park thing, but it sounds like there's momentum on then attached to that, the county acquiring a bunch of the quarry, and the quarry turning into a lake. If that comes to fruition in the next few years, I mean, I think that'll kind of change some of the market dynamics for this particular property. I do think another, I think if you've got to bring 13th Street through, I mean, ideally that little darker patch would be retail, but if you're bringing 13th Street like straight through the middle of that thing, like, you know, I don't know what you can even fit there anymore. So that causes, you know, a challenge. So if we're, you know, if we're really looking at kind of that piece to the south of the waterway, north of the road, I mean, is essentially that, it sounds like this is kind of what you're getting boxed into. Other things I've heard would be like active adult housing, so like 55 plus, so not, we're not talking like assisted necessarily, but active adult, I think there's some need for that. I would say, and then that creates kind of a downstream benefit to, you know, if you have people in existing housing stock move out, that's where you're more likely to pick up housing stock under 325. So that might create some of that affordable housing benefit, just, you know, one step further down the supply chain. It depends on somebody's, an investor's risk tolerance. I think the proximity to the school, potential for the lake thing up top, I mean, if you want kind of higher risk, higher reward type thing, I think small, you know, some kind of like small lodging type deal, hospitality.
Where's the lake?
Yeah, if you scroll, if you drag it up here.
But just remember that lake too, when they do it, the county's also looking at turning housing around it. So if they put housing around it, that's, people are going to do Airbnb it if they do it, so you won't need the lodging there because the lodging's going to be on the lake.
Sure.
That's,
if the county,
there's a lot of variables. I mean, they've been talking about it, honestly, for the last 10 years. They're just now finally starting to bring it to public. For the fact that there's a lot of moving parts in it.
Yeah, I was thinking the other benefit you have is across, when you are that close to the school, our school in hockey, and then the hockey arena, you know, house some, you know, we'll host some different youth sports tournaments. You know, so right now they're kind of shoestrung on, where teams are willing to block rooms. And so it's more common for teams to block rooms in Rochester and drive over. So then you would get kind of, do you end up with some Airbnb competition to the north potentially? It depends on what's even usable up there. So if you're looking at that map, Ian, can you scroll in just a little bit? Yeah, so you see where that says Stussy Construction. Mm-hmm. So you see that quarry there? Sounds like they pump out a significant amount of water on a daily basis. So they're in talks on selling that to the county turning that into a park and basically absorbing it into the park that's adjacent to the south, which then if you kind of drag us back to the south, Ian, these like hiking trail things, but right up against, you know, Dean's. So this is like that hiking, some of this is hiking trails, and then it's 16th Street, and we're back down to the land that that Dean still owns, and then your parcel. That would be the one other thing. That's kind of a I think pretty speculative, but I think is, you know, would be one other thing. I haven't heard lots of people clamoring in terms of like, well, we want lodging right here. I have heard, more generally speaking, lodging needs for the tournaments, the youth tournaments, and then I've heard the lake stuff, and then what kind of all the things that cascade out of that. On a daycare basis, it depends a lot on, I mean, daycare is a difficult business. You know, it's one of those things where it's expensive and yet it's still super tight margins. So you have to have the exact right operator. You know, that's the tricky part for it to be successful, like the nursery group, Red Methodist Church. So that's, you know, I mean, that's also challenging. Now, is there market demand? There, you know, there definitely is. I think it is just it's just such a challenging market. I mean, there is a group, First Children Finance? They do, I mean, they'll do more like market demand feasibility studies for childcare. And then I believe those guys had essentially created a floor plan that is like a mini. It's built almost like a single family home, but it's designed to basically be a standalone daycare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I mean that would be a nice, I mean, kind of swing property, I guess you could say, where basically if you don't get any interest, then you can just sell it as a house. You know, with probably minimal changes inside, but. I don't know. I think the big demographic forces at play are, I mean, population seems to continue to grow. I mean, it's fairly, I mean, you guys just invested a ton of money in town, so I mean, I'm sure you're aware, right, of kind of the economic forces. I mean, Mayo Clinic keeps hiring people. That probably is going to bring some amount of more, you know, whether it's kids, adults, trailing spouses, et cetera. So yeah, that, I don't know. I mean, it's a really interesting spot that you have as kind of this outlot. So yeah, I mean, it's, I think a lot of it, if you get into the commercial, like commercial, it's going to depend on a lot of the operator. It's going to drive your success, I think. I do know that if Tim Ibish were here, he'd say a pizza ranch.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that.
Put that out there. So that he would really like to see a pizza ranch.
I would suggest that you go talk to the county, though, and just see what their plans are with that property, because that could be another, honestly, 10, 20 years out.
Sure.
I mean, because it all comes up to money.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I mean, you'd have to feel them out, talk to the commissioners, talk to the county. The whole hotel lodging thing, I would, if you're interested, I'd really run the numbers, because there's a hotel right straight across the road here that's depreciating yearly.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Is people not using it? You know, you got to make sure, you know, that you look at every option. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying, if we've got a hotel that doesn't keep maintained, why isn't it?
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
Well, there are several reasons that go with the why isn't it, but I'm not going to go into that. I would say that if you were planning on doing something like that, an indoor pool would be great for the elderly to have. You know, you could do exercise. You could have somebody come in that's a personal trainer that would work with elderly with stuff like that. Swimming lessons. We have a great, big, beautiful pool here, but it's not year-round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could coordinate with Mail for some rehab. There's all sorts of things you could do with that.
The option is senior center / senior housing.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's, I don't know where the cost is at either. I mean,
right.
There's lots of ideas, whether it's feasible. You know.
How many home daycares are currently in Cassin, do you know?
I really don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know if there's a good.
No, there's like four centers, but I don't know. In home, I don't know. And I know the state regulations on them are getting harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like.
That's why people are getting away from doing it in their home.
Right, right. And we have a property that is a commercial, and we actually have a daycare that's in there. And it's very, you know, and it could be diverse. If they ever so choose to say, you know, when the lease comes up, no, we're done, whatever, it still can be leased out in a different manner. But there's flexibility, and that was one item, you know, when we were here at the council meetings number of times they, the one item was as far as daycare, et cetera. But, you know, it's just, and that's always, I think every community is probably facing that, just because of the state regs and the help. I mean, that's still an issue. Probably always will be. Any other questions that you have?
No, well, we do have, going back to housing and more affordable, there's two other models that we have. We're trying one in Owatonna here on a smaller parcel. It's a fourplex, but they're going to be sold individually. And that would be under the 350 for sure. I don't know if that's a type of housing that would be welcomed here or not, but just kind of a 1,500 square foot, you own it, and you know, we don't have to rent everything out. So that's another option. Or else, going back to seniors, there's patio twin homes too that we've done in several communities that have worked out really well too. So just going back to getting those folks ready that are empty nesters or recently retired out of their house and can free up some inventory too. So I don't know if either of those options would be.
I know in within the next 2 years, I mean, your property will have 104 units. We'll have 85, I think, right over here, and then there's another apartment complex with 36 or 39 units being built. So
there's a lot.
So there's going to be an influx of rentals.
Yeah.
So and those will all be you own, but pay a HOA type. They own the land, you own the house.
That's on the other 80 there, you mean? Or the,
it'll be right behind on the south side of the
south side of 14.
South side
manufactured home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be, so you know, so
you're looking at the RFP, right?
Yeah.
So there is some other that went, yeah, you know, that'll be fill in, so you gotta see how many more you need for that too.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if people could buy, but I think people are starting to look at, for right now, if they can just have a place until they save or till the market changes.
Exactly. Okay. Any other words of wisdom, Ian?
Let's see. I don't think so.
I know on our part, you know, essentially thank you for your time, and you know, we're just looking at with the alignment how we should do that to give us the best opportunity. I know Bigelow has that to the south side there too, and we'll have to make everything in consideration with that, but I think we have a fairly straightforward plan. It's just a matter of, you know, I think, you know, the service industry, whether it's restaurants or anything, that's, you know, that's not a viable situation. I don't think that's the location for it as well. I think you, anything service like that, you want to be on the south side to give yourself a chance. That's my own opinion. But I think with that, there is, I didn't even think what Jake said as far as the, it is a row townhome concept. We put it together, and it's just, it's in an association, so it's well, the property value is important to maintain, and so that would be an option possibly here to look at. I think that's something we need to have some dialogue with the realtor about and see what we can do there. But it's still, you know, essentially it's in Owatonna. It's been, you know, we're going to start about the beginning of November on it, and we have them at $299, right? So it's a row town. It's done very well, actually. If you go to the website, actually, we could forward you the link or
the rendering
of everything with it. But it is nice. It's you know, it it's hardy siding, it's cement board siding, it's, you know, the roof is tier three, it's not a tier four, but it's not the cheap roof either. You know, and then we also, our windows are reputable windows that are very efficient and serviced well as with that. But, you know, it's granite countertops, et cetera. But maybe that's something that we should look at here and pass that along and see what the feedback would be on that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And I ain't sure that on the alignment of the street, at one time the engineer, our engineer even thought they don't, didn't, might not necessarily have to connect to 57, it could frontage road back to 16th. If that would make it better or worse, I don't know, you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just moving it around.
Because there is a concept with this being brought through to here.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's a concept with the road going up to the north, but there's also a concept, you know, road is expensive.
Yes.
And this here, if we could do this and get the density up into here, that's ultimately what we, you know, what we'd try to do. But, you know, again, that's working with the city and, you know, seeing what everybody's feeling. But, and it's truthfully, the market's going to dictate it. And, you know, it's, but there's a couple, number of concepts.
Yeah.
We've done, you know, in a half hour setting, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Very
like.
Quickly. But, you know, we're open to going to the north. We're open to maintaining this here, too. And that's kind of what, you know, we have to make a decision here.
Sure.
Talk to Brandon in the city with yourselves here, how we do align this.
Because Brandon seems to have the image of how that road goes more than the rest of us, but
right,
no.
Right. And if I don't have it with me. Do you have it at all? Or?
The concepts. Let's see here.
Well, it would be his with the trunk highway 57 for.
Because I know 57 will get a center turn lane through that area now up to 16th Street, so it'll finish, so it'll go from the roundabout all the way to where exists on 11th. It'll have the center turn lane and no parking on it, so it'll be just. So that is.
How much will that be widened?
It'll look just like the rest of 57. I don't know exact measurements. Brandon would know, but I know it's been approved by MnDOT. The city has been funded a grant for it. It's just when and how to pay for the rest.
Sure, sure.
But that is been approved.
Yeah.
So then that puts in, you know, takes out the ditches and gives you the curb and gutter and.
Yes, yes. Okay.
I think, I don't know, that's. I think it's something that has to be done by 2028, I think. But I know if market pushes it sooner, it gets done sooner.
Sure, sure. And I'll have a discussion here. I wanted to, not intentionally, if Brandon's busy too, but I know I received this last week here, and I was just like, I'm just going to wait for a response here and just kind of see how everything pans out here, talking here today. And I think we don't have the crystal ball, obviously.
Yeah.
If we can try to get educated here, you understand where we're at. And,
mm-hmm.
You
know, yeah.
But I like the idea of that three. I mean, if we could do this with the fourplex, it, you know, the downside of association, you still have the dues to pay, which increases it. However, it protects the property and keeps it all clean and crisp looking, which is important as well for the neighbors and everybody else. So protects the value.
Okay. Would you be able to fit one fourplex up in there, or do you think there would be space for more than one fourplex up in there?
There's a lot of space there. There's, you know, we had a number of times we've had a couple different renderings there of what we could do, and it's again, it's just all with the road, how you potentially, if you just go with 13th east to west, it keeps it pretty clean in what you can do. When you put a road in, it takes up a lot of space and a lot of cost, and that takes away the efficiency. And that's what
you know, we look at, you know, things are, you know, have to be looked at as far as being as efficient as possible in our world to try to make it productive.
And I know Tim and Brandon would have the exact answer on that road more than us.
Sure, absolutely. And again, it was just dialogue and everything's conceptual discussion,
yep.
And that's what we're looking at. Well, thank you for your time. I do appreciate
thank you.
It. And thank you, and have a great
we'll be
day.
In touch.
Thank you. Next, your financial report.
All right, so I got the financial report in the packet. Let's see. Thing to mention with that, Chaotic Good is, they're open now. Previously, prior to opening up, they had gotten caught back up with their payments after being closed for 10 months. However, they are behind now again. They didn't make their payment that was due.
9/25.
Yeah, in September last month. So I did send, you know, notice to Scott saying that he has 30 days to make the payment, or else he'll be officially in default. Have not heard a response from Scott since then, though. That's where that is right now. Let's see. I know, like, prior to opening up again, he had to reapply for his liquor license.
Which is only good to the end of the year.
Right. Well, I think it's good for 6 months, maybe. But anyways, it was effective as far as the loan goes because, like, well, you can get the license once you make your loan current, but so that's just where that is. Any questions about that or anything else in the financial report?
Being there's more than one owner there, do you send it to all of them to remind all of them so they know? Technically somebody else is managing it more than Scott.
Right, that's true. I did only send it to Scott.
I would suggest sending it to all owners.
Okay.
Is just the loan in his name or in the business name?
Both,
yeah.
So I would suggest sending it to all, just in case the other partners might not know that it was missed.
True. Okay.
Just to
okay.
Keep it friendly reminder.
Do you have updated paper? I mean, like, do you have updated paperwork from Chaotic Good Brewing, like showing like who the new owners are?
Yeah, I have a list.
I think if you have new partners, new, you know, they have a vested interest in the business succeeding.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I know I have a list of all of the new people who are owners.
Certain business documents, though. Do we have any like updated business documents showing like who the new owners are?
My understanding was that like the portion that they own is like not large enough to like trigger the new like business documents.
I don't know how we would know that without the new documents.
Like, I know, like, the, like, what share of each person is, I guess. That's what I have. But I don't know, like, what their financial history is like.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, if we, because I don't know what, I literally have no idea what information you have, so.
Right, yeah.
I'm just asking, do we have you know, like, so, yeah, if we have something that indicates what shares they've bought, you know, and whose name they're now in, you know, that would be good to have on hand.
Okay, yeah, so that I have.
You have that, that's
yeah.
good. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, if our like city attorney, for example, doesn't feel like, well, you know, if she feels good that we have, you know, our loan docs as is are good, then I, you know, I would defer to her on that. What I was going to say then is, if we have that and we can document, hey, yeah, this, and say if all we have is just we've heard that there's new owners, like we really should get some kind of documentation showing there's new owners and players before we start sending them notices.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you have that,
yeah,
then I think we should probably reach out to them.
Okay. Okay. I can probably do that then. All right. That'll be good.
Next will be coordinator's report.
All right, a few things to highlight in my report. Since the conclusion of the REV program's summer series with the workshops and everything, we did have a meeting a couple weeks ago to just do like a wrap-up of how the workshop series went, and we talked about some ideas for what we could do going forward. So I know I had shared the results with the EDA at the previous meeting, so we just went over that again with the REV team. Talked about some of the challenges that we experienced along the way, things that we learned, things that we could put towards in the future if we ever do some sort of workshop series with the SBDC again. We talked about a couple of other things to use the remaining grant fundings for, and so long time ago we had discussed an idea of utilizing a CRM for the meeting with business owners aspect of what the REV team does, and so I did have a couple of demos with two different CRMs, one of which is called Executive Pulse, so in the packet I did include kind of like an overview of what theirs looks like, and then I did also meet with another one called SourceLink, which is kind of similar and it's pretty similar. Both of these CRMs are like specific to like the economic development world, so it's not like a what is the other ones? The more common CRMs that get used that are kind of more built to whatever your needs are. These ones are like already like designed for what you need as far as economic development goes. So they showed me you can set up different like profiles for each businesses, and you can keep track of things that you talked about. You know, I feel like it would be a pretty good resource to have and to use as far as my work goes. And it seemed that the REV team was in favor of using something like this. So that's what we discussed, and then we also discussed another thing that we had talked about previously, which is creating like a special separate website to use for resources that are available to entrepreneurs in the area. So not like what we have right now with the city's website and the EDA's page on the city website, but it would be like a totally separate thing that we could do. Yeah. Any questions about any of those things?
What kind of budget would you need first?
They did send a quote here. Let's see. I didn't include that in the packet. It was a few. They did a few different things because there's like larger upfront fees, but then they also charge like a monthly subscription. I believe the startup was a few thousand dollars and then like a couple hundred dollars each month, which I mean, we could even like commit for 2 years and then they would give us a discount off of that if we wanted to go that route. There were, I mean, we have funds still available from the REV grant in order to go towards this. We had budgeted for that as part of the REV group early on when we had to submit our proposal for the grant. We just didn't really get around to it until this point, so. That's fair. And then, between the two that I got the demos for, I did like Executive Pulse more, and it did seem that it was more cost effective between the two options as well. I didn't get the formal quote yet from SourceLink, but we did kind of talk about that during the demo, and it did seem like it was more expensive and didn't have some of the same features as Executive Pulse did that I kind of wanted to take advantage of. So that's where I'm at with that. Any other questions?
How much, you said there's a certain amount built into the REV budget. If you have an idea about how much was built into the REV budget?
For the CRM specifically?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm not sure. Let's see. I believe what their quote was in line with what we had budgeted for it, and it wasn't like we don't have the budget for it. I just don't know what the exact number is right now. Yeah, I know we had a good chunk remaining. And just overall budget-wise with the REV program, that did, it turned out to be quite a bit under what we had initially thought we were going to do, especially with the SBDC stuff, because we had thought we were going to do more like one-to-one sessions here at City Hall, but those ended up not being very popular anyways, so that brought down the actual expenses quite a bit with the program. But we do have quite a bit left over to use.
Well, I'd like to see how much you got budgeted and how much you're looking for to
towards it. Yeah, yeah.
I'd right. like to make yeah. sure there's a definite number, not a
yeah.
We got money, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's
before
totally
we did any farther.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely fair. I'll get those numbers for you. And sure. Yep, for sure.
Being that there's a monthly payment, though. Yeah, it'd
yeah,
be a city contract.
It would be a city contract, so yeah,
yep.
Have to.
It'd have to come through here and then. Yeah, so it'd have to come here and then it'd have to go to council.
Yep.
And if there's a monthly payment, you got to make sure it's feasible and put into the regular budget. And
yeah, when we looked at this, the budget was enough, but I don't know how exactly.
Yeah, I would just like to see.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Real number instead of.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I don't have that.
I thought too, you mentioned it, you know, maybe we can bundle the month for like 3 years. And
sure.
That.
Yeah, like if we wanted to, if they would allow that, I have to ask about that.
Yeah, I'm going to use up, so might as well use
that. Oh, yeah, I totally get it. I just.
And then the other part of my coordinator's report was my visit to the Minnesota American Planning Association's conference. It was their annual conference out in Willmar. It was my first time going to, sorry, I know you guys had to leave early. Thank you for coming. Yes. It was my first time going to that conference, and I thought it was really helpful. It was over 3 different days, and they had quite a lot of different topics to talk about during the meeting. Seems like the big points of discussion were like community engagement and technology and legal stuff, which was very interesting, and AI, of course, which is a very, very hot button topic right now. So yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to go, and I hope to go again next year if that's allowable. So any questions about that? Nope. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Ian. City Administrator's Report, Tim's not here, but it's in the packet, so if you've got questions, you can send him an email.
Yep.
Any other business? Okay. Items for November. I'd like to see your numbers come back for that other. Maybe we'll have more guidance by then, maybe some ideas for even Trom, maybe.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Maybe some. And I was going to ask, too, has Ready got any options? You know, he was looking for commercial, industrial. Do they have any potential ideas that maybe we could stream now we have land available?
Not that I know, but I could reach out to them.
You know what I mean? Just let them know we have available land.
Yeah.
That we could, that's commercial.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some ideas. Maybe we can get something from them. Maybe not, but it's worth a reach out to them, I think. Maybe you can.
I think the folks from Ready also did reach out because they're supposed to present to the council, I think, once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They had just reached out about that. So I can have Ready come and speak to the council.
Yeah. And just see, you know, and then if they got some ideas, they could just reach out to Schramm. Maybe there's a little relationship they could get going.
Sure. Very nice.
Nothing else. I would take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Brian. We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Polls? Thank you, everybody.